Hi, I'm Aman.
And I'm Lena.
And this is Grounded Geeks,
where we make the geek world relevant.
So, what are we talking about today, Lena?
Well, Aman, on our last episode, which was titled Watchmen/Lovecraft Country Part 1: Tulsa Race Massacre.
Oh, shit.
This, I know, it was a lot, but this episode is going to be basically Watchmen and Lovecraft Country Part 2, everything else.
Well, yeah, I guess if we've labeled something Part 1, we got to do a Part 2.
Yes. I mean, to be clear, when it comes to these two shows, we could have probably an infinite number of parts because there's so much to talk about for both of these shows, right?
Yeah, both and individually, but also together.
We wanted to specifically talk about just the Tulsa Race Massacre, like how both of those shows kind of incorporated that actual true historical event and act of terrorism into their stories. But then we also wanted to take time to talk about everything else that these shows talk about. So
yeah, and there's so much.
Yeah, also want to preface this whole conversation to our audience and say that we totally know and understand and acknowledge that it is kind of stupid to try to talk about both of these incredible shows in one episode. So we know we're dumb, okay? But like, this is just how we're geeking out about it.
Hey, we're reaching for the stars, Lena. We're gonna cram in so much into one podcast.
It's so dumb, Aman. It's really dumb. Honestly, yeah. And both of these shows actually have their own podcasts, so
they do.
Further proof that this is really dumb that we're just trying to mush both of them into.
But you know what? We're gonna show them the official podcasts for Watchmen and Lovecraft Country, because yeah, I mean, you know,
you couldn't even finish that sentence. I'm shaking my head at you. No, absolutely not. Okay. All right.
I tried.
Okay. So lots of things to talk about with this one.
So many things.
Let's first talk about, Aman, what were your favorite things about Watchmen and Lovecraft Country? You can start with either.
So my favorite thing about Lovecraft Country that I don't know if enjoyed is the right word to use, but I appreciated the most was I feel like they did a really good job of showing what life was actually like for African Americans in America in the 1950s. But their use of magic, this was definitely more of a fantasy show rather than science fiction, a lot more fantasy than science fiction. But they really did a good job of using this medium of fiction to help things further along, you know? Like, specifically, I'm thinking of the episode that's centered around Ruby, where she took a magic potion and turned into a white woman for X period of time, you know? And as an audience member, they did a really good job of showing the very, very large impact of things that we assume are subtle racism, how its impact is much more than subtle, you know?
Yeah.
Like, she applied for a job, very well qualified, was turned away for supposedly legitimate reasons.
No, you know? Of course not legitimate at that time.
Please. I mean, but I'm talking about the way things are portrayed, you know, I mean, even today, you know, most racism is not overt racism. It's subtle racism. It's difficult to put your finger on. Yeah. But in Lovecraft Country, they were able to use these moments to highlight both of those and really show that what is subtle, what may be hard to put our finger on in the moment, is actually not so subtle. And I just thought that was really masterfully done throughout the whole show, you know, not just with that one episode. That's just the main one that comes to mind. Mm-hmm. And with Watchmen, I just loved how they extrapolated an alternative future from this amazing graphic novel that existed. You know, they took the elements of this graphic novel and gamed it out. You know, what would happen in the aftermath of a giant squid attack? Squid psychological attack. And just to be clear, this show, and I think it'd be almost more fair to call it a miniseries, is playing off of not the movie Watchmen that Zack Snyder directed, but the graphic novel by Alan Moore. So they extrapolated from that, and I thought they did a really excellent job of showing that alternative future. And then, you know, since Dr. Manhattan is involved, time travel shenanigans, and I'm always about that. Time travel shenanigans. I love time travel shenanigans.
Yeah.
That's why I love Doctor Who.
I think my favorite thing about both Watchmen and Lovecraft Country, it's actually the same thing, basically. It's that I love how both of the shows, they found things in actual history in real life to kind of use as the nucleus of their shows, you know? And then they kind of built upon that. And as a history nerd myself, the incorporation of actual real history in all these plot lines with all these fictional characters is just, it was just so cool. And it makes me at least want to learn more about history, because both of these shows, I think, taught me a lot about actual U.S. history.
That's true. I mean, a lot of these things I feel like I knew intellectually. And I think I said this in our last episode, too, that even though I may have known about it intellectually, it really sort of pulled me into those time periods and those issues at a more emotional level. And and the reason they were able to do that, even if I've seen documentaries about it, you watch a documentary, it doesn't emotionally tug and pull you into the story. And that's the magic of fiction, is that it creates sort of a protective barrier that makes it feel safer to delve into these things emotionally and to be able to put yourself in those shoes.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. Another thing that I really loved about Lovecraft Country is that, and you kind of already touched on it, but you know, at the, in the beginning of the show, like within the first one or two episodes, you think, okay, Atticus is the main character. Letty is another main character. It's going to be about them. And we interact with these side characters like, you know, Hippolyta and Ruby and Diana D, the young girl. And then they get their own episodes. And I love that. I think I'm just a big fan of when shows do that. They just, you know, they'll just devote an entire episode to another person's point of view and their perspective. And
it really gives
a deep dive on them. And
It gives real depth to side characters. And I think that's so important.
Yeah.
And it's such also like, it's one of those things though, where even if they hadn't given up those stories, just the fact that they thought about these very deep backstories for each of these characters, it's something that still translates into a story.
Yeah.
You know, even if they hadn't shown it, you could tell that this person has been imagined as a real person with depth. You know, whether it's Dee or Hippolyta or Montrose,
or like Gia, the fact that they did a whole episode about the Korean War and Gia. And
oh, that was brilliant.
I
forgot about that.
I was listening to the Lovecraft Country podcast, and I'm pretty sure. And so that podcast, one of the writers from the Lovecraft show is on one of the hosts of the podcast. I'm pretty sure she said that because, you know, Lovecraft Country is based off of a book, an actual novel. And I don't think the novel actually goes into all of that. Atticus's, like, you know, past as a soldier and all that. And I think the show decided to do that. So I'm pretty sure. I'll double check that. But yeah, so I mean, I thought that was great. I really like when they do that. The characters in general in both Lovecraft Country and Watchmen, so good. And, you know, Watchmen did a little bit of that too. I'm just realizing that now.
They did do a little bit of that.
Like with Looking Glass.
With Mirror Guy.
Disrespectful to call him Mirror Guy.
I mean, to be fair, Agent Blake's repeated use of calling him Mirror Guy kind of stuck in my head.
I love her character. I think she's so funny. She's just her very dry sense of humor was hilarious to me.
And, you know, I mean, like, she is Silk Spectre, the younger Silk Spectre, mm-hmm. in from the comic. Yeah. And so it's one of those things where it's like, when you read the comic, or, you know, and I feel like the movie was close enough where, or even if you've watched the movie and seen what she's gone through, mm-hmm. the way they portrayed Agent Blake in this show, it's like, yeah, that's who she was going to turn out to be. She was going to turn out to be a bitter, angry old woman who is dreadfully effective at her job as an FBI agent. Like,
mm-hmm. yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you look at that and it's like, I can see that. Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
Very true. Very true. All right. So when last week's episode, we talked about how both of the shows tackle the Tulsa race massacre. Right. Now I'm just wondering your thoughts, Aman, on how you think both of the shows tackled racism or just portrayed it in general.
So
there was very different approaches, obviously.
They were different approaches. In Lovecraft Country, it was definitely taking us in a journey to the past. You know, mm-hmm. it was putting us in the shoes of the African Americans who lived in America at that time. Mm-hmm. You know, so the racism that you see there, it's moments, so many moments of like, oh my God, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then the realization of like, oh my God, this is actually probably really accurate in terms of the experience of the characters and the portrayal, you know, like that episode where the cop pulls him over and says, you realize this is a Sunset County, right?
Yeah. And you know, Sundown Town or whatever.
That was horrifying. It was just like, and it's one of those things where it's like, okay, maybe you heard about those in school. Maybe you hadn't and picked it up somewhere in a random article or something. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of read that and be like, okay, yeah, what? Okay. I guess whatever. You know, and then you watch this scene in Lovecraft and you're like, oh, that's fucked up. That is whack.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so it was a lot more violent, but in a very realistic manner.
Yeah.
Watchmen, this is an alternative present, not even an alternative future. It's an alternative present because they even say this is 2019. And racism there, specifically the portrayal of white supremacy there, is treated mm-hmm. more like an insidious terrorist organization, you know, mm-hmm. something where, I mean, then you obviously you've got those scenes where you're taking a look at Will Reeves / Hooded Justice's point of view from back in the day during World War II, right afterwards when he's a cop in New York. Mm-hmm. And it's a similar kind of thing as in Lovecraft Country, but I actually felt it was less violent.
Really? I thought, you know, that scene, the nostalgia uh-huh. episode where right. Angela, you know, is Will Reeves basically experiencing all his memories. The first time I saw that, I just like my heart was just like I just, it was so intense. Like when they were trying to, you know, fake lynch him or whatever, so fucked up. Like it just, that particular scene was very, very hard to watch.
Right. I don't mean to say that it wasn't violent, and that was a very emotionally difficult scene, but with Lovecraft Country, they did a much more extensive job of showing the effect of racism against African Americans at a broader level.
Yeah.
I guess it existed at a deeper systemic level and its violent effects. And with Watchmen, you had these moments, very violent moments, but they didn't delve that deeply into the systemic racism of the past and its far-reaching effects and impacts on day-to-day life. I mean, it was sort of there, it was sort of implied, but its portrayal wasn't nearly as extensive as in Lovecraft.
Yeah, I think with Watchmen, it was like, you know, throughout the series, it was like, okay, here are three huge major instances of really kind of violent racism, whatever.
Yes.
Whereas with Lovecraft Country, it was literally never a single episode. And
yeah, not just
so.
Yeah, not just every
single. They were kind of throwing at you in
Lovecraft. Oh, there was a lot they were throwing at you in Lovecraft, but they were also painting a broader picture of what society looked like at that time.
Yeah.
Whereas in Watchmen, since it wasn't taking place back then, you can't. You're not going to have the amount of screen time to paint that same kind of picture.
Right.
The nostalgia episode was really just there to provide a little bit of context to what's happening today.
Yeah.
As opposed to focusing on back then, the 40s, 50s, 60s.
And Watchmen is mostly like an alternate universe in general, right? So
it
obviously
is.
It's not, whereas Lovecraft is still, I mean, yes, there's like monsters and creatures and whatever and fantastical magic and all that in Lovecraft, but it's still like this historically based show, whereas Watchmen is this alternate present.
Yes.
Alternate universe. Yes. Right. Okay.
Which small aside on that with Watchmen, I just thought it was really interesting the way they imagined this alternative present, because you had Dr. Manhattan's influence on technology. Mm-hmm. And I loved how they were able to show how technology evolved differently in this alternative present. You know, you had, thanks to Dr. Manhattan, you had lithium ion cars, battery electric cars, way sooner. And every car in that show, from pickup trucks to the Toyota Priuses, were all electric. All right. And they had 3D holograms, all right, not on a screen, but stuff projected into the air. But at the same time, everybody was using pagers.
Pagers, yeah.
And the cops were still using big handheld walkie-talkie radios.
Right, yeah.
You know, and landlines were still a thing. So I just thought it was interesting how they showed how technology, in a sense, was influenced to evolve in a different direction from the way it evolved here.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah,
So I just thought that was an interesting, and also, you know, it makes sense.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
When That's you have true. Such a strong influence on your technological development in the form of Dr. Manhattan, that things are going to move in a different direction from the way we recognize it.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't catch on that everyone had electric cars in the show.
Yep.
I did not catch on to that. Very interesting.
Even the Ford F-150 pickup trucks, which they are coming out with an electric version of it, by the way, but even those old beat up pickup trucks had the electric car
sound,
you know, they're making very clear that this is an electric car.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. Very cool, Iman. Nice of you to notice that, because I did not notice it at all. What was I going to say? Oh, so what I wanted to say about racism and white supremacy on both shows is that in Watchmen, I liked that in general, they wanted to tackle white supremacy on the show. And that's what Damon Lindelof, the creator of the show, was going for. He's like, that's going to be the crux of the issue there in general. I also just thought it was interesting that even in this alternate made up universe where something like the Tulsa Race Massacre is properly acknowledged and the victims of that massacre are paid tribute to and all that, and this that Greenwood Cultural Center, you know, you can figure out your family's, your ancestry, and there's actual reparations that Black Americans have received in the Watchmen universe. And despite all these things that, you know, we would totally see as progress and like, wow, that's good things, racism is and white supremacy is still very much alive and well, and it's still there 100 years later after the massacre. And so I thought that was really interesting with Watchmen. With Lovecraft Country, I thought I kind of kept the kind of central question that I think the show poses is, you know, what is the bigger monster, actual monsters or racism? And you get, I feel like you get that sense from the first episode, right? Like, especially when they're they're trying to leave that sundown town. The cop's right behind him. And he's like, you can't go over the speed limit, but you need to get your ass out of here by this time. So they're going, trying to get out of there. They do get out of there in time and they're still rounded up by cops. And So, I mean, it's just, very interesting in general.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I don't even know what to do with that theme, you know? Like, where do you even go from there? Because you're right. I mean, the way they portrayed, especially in Lovecraft Country, it is very clear that the main enemy, the primary enemy that they're fighting is the racist suppression that they are facing at every turn. Yeah. Even when Atticus and George and Letty are taken to that big hunting lodge thing mansion, with the... Yeah, with the magic-y guy and like they're invited there, you know, and everyone there, you can just tell they don't want these black people there.
Yeah,
you know, like they need them there, and they still can't get over the color of their skin, you know, and it is one of those things where it's like it just makes you wonder, like, what would it take?
Yeah.
What's it going to take?
Yeah. And then it's that just reminded me in Watchmen, again, that same nostalgia episode when Captain Metropolis asks Hooded Justice to join the team. And he's like, but you have to keep your skin covered at all times because some of our members are not as tolerant as I am. And he's saying this like right after they had sex and they're in bed.
And so, you know what? Of that part, that's not even the worst thing that Captain Metropolis did.
Well, no, all right? Of course not. No.
He brought in Hooded Justice to give legitimacy to the Minutemen. All right. But then he completely sidelines Hooded Justice and his priorities.
Yeah.
And in fact, that phone call where he's in a phone booth, where Will is in a phone booth talking to Captain Metropolis and saying, hey, I found evidence. You know, this is what they're trying to do. And Captain Metropolis is just like, are you even listening to yourself? Like, this sounds insane. Yeah. How about you come over and we have some sexy time?
Yeah, seriously.
And it's like, what?
And it's so funny because a few scenes before that, they're having their freaking press conference and Hooded Justice is trying to tell everyone like, yeah, we're going to go after this organization called Cyclops, but then Captain Metropolis interrupts him and he's like, oh, we're going after so and so who's gonna use solar energy to do I don't know what the fuck, you know. And and Will in that phone booth is trying to tell him, yo, this racist white supremacist organization is using mind control to start these crazy riots and stuff in Harlem or wherever, you know.
Right.
And he's just like, that's the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard. Like, if you want to go solve black unrest, you do that on your own. Like, what the fuck? You know, it's just like, what? That's the most ludicrous thing you've heard? Okay.
Yeah. After instead of, like you said, like it was something completely crazy. I'm trying to think of it now. Like solar panels to destroy New York or some shit. I don't remember what it was. Harnessing the solar energy to make whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like the mob boss called the miraculous mobster, some stupid ass name.
Right. So ridiculous. Anyway, another thing I wanted to touch on is, so the character of Will Reeves slash Hooded Justice, he, and we were talking about this before, and so you mentioned this, that he's the one who witnessed and saw what happened at Tulsa, saw his parents die. So that was a huge trauma laid upon him. In Lovecraft Country, that character was Montrose. He saw that, and he saw what happened in Tulsa, saw his home get destroyed, his family gone, everything.
Yeah.
So I thought it was interesting to also see in both of these shows how they tackle violence as it's sort of passed down through generations and the generational trauma that we see in different, when you've seen something as horrific as that, you know, that's not, you don't just get over that in like 10 sessions of therapy, even, you know, like it's right. Just, and these are men who never in a million years had access to therapy at that, yes. in that time period. So it's like, yeah. So anyway, what thoughts on that, Aman?
There's this scene in the episode that's focusing on Mirror Guy.
Looking Glass. Yeah.
On Looking Glass, uh-huh. where he's running that support group for yeah. people who are still traumatized by the squid attack, even though most of the people in that group were not actually even alive in some cases, mm-hmm. When that attack had happened 30 years prior.
Right.
But this one kid is talking about exactly what you just said, generational hereditary trauma.
Yeah.
You know, and I just, as you were saying that, I just realized that, hey, maybe there was a broader point to that scene.
Yeah.
I didn't even catch that the first couple of times I watched that episode, but it's so true.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about trauma embedding into one's DNA for it to be generational, but you know, I definitely think that there are some traumas that are so big that they get passed down mm-hmm. through, you know, with Montrose, you see his dad beating him up, Montrose yeah. experiencing what happened in Tulsa, getting the fuck out of Tulsa after the massacre. And then he himself is very hard on Atticus.
Yeah.
And who in turn, you see flashes of that mm-hmm. when he's talking to Letty at times, where he knows it's wrong, but
yeah.
It's like he can't help himself in certain moments.
Right.
And then in Watchmen, I mean, the main thread that you're talking about is Will Reeves living through Tulsa, barely making it out as a kid, mm-hmm. and then still feeling all of that anger and trauma in him. And the only thing he finds to let it out first is he wants to become a cop. And then he basically wakes up one morning and says, I choose violence, you mm-hmm. know, and he puts on this hood after getting lynched, cut down before he dies, but he was lynched,
yeah.
you know, and basically using that hood and the mask to take out his anger in a sense on all mm-hmm. the injustice he sees in the world. Yeah. And I feel like that somehow ended up in Angela. I'm so bad with names, but it's okay, Lena. It's okay because I'm also really bad with faces.
Okay,
that's why we do an audio only podcast. But yeah. Angela has, I don't know, it was weird with Angela. She had her own experience of trauma.
Yeah, seeing her parents die.
Her parents die, living through an orphanage, and seeing her grandmother die.
Yeah.
Then minutes after meeting her, it was awful, awful, awful. Yeah. So like she experienced. So the thing is, though, is that she lashes out in a similar kind of way where she finds this outlet in dressing up as Sister Knight as a detective, mm-hmm. you know, and beating the crap out of 7th Cavalry suspects. I don't know if it's the trauma that Will Reeves sort of genetically getting embedded or Angela being related to Will Reeves responding in a similar way to a similar kind of trauma.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like I would think it's the latter, just being related to him. Too. Yeah, yeah. That's so interesting. Yeah. And it's interesting also how both of the shows had the two characters, Will Reeves and Montrose, you know, they kind of portrayed a little bit more about their sexuality to us audience members.
Yeah.
And with Montrose, I think it was fairly clear he was gay. Whereas with Will Reeves, maybe he was bisexual, not sure. We didn't go as much into it with his character because he did have a wife and obviously a son, Angela's father. So,
and also it was the only instance of any sort of sexual attraction was with him and Captain Metropolis, whereas with Montrose, they showed him being quote unquote very close with other guys much earlier in life, yeah. as well as later on then in life repeatedly.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I thought that was really interesting too. Just like more interesting parallels between the shows.
And another interesting parallel in a sense, I don't know if parallel is the right word, but another interesting thing was that the LGBTQ community is still a marginalized community, mm-hmm. you know, especially the further back in time you go.
Yeah.
However, I thought it was interesting, especially in Watchmen, where the shared marginalization of being gay especially between Captain Metropolis and Hooded Justice was not enough to overcome the marginalization of Hooded Justice being a black man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
having a shared sense of identity in one respect was not enough to overcome the other aspects of it.
Yeah, that's so true.
It was an interesting portrayal in choice, I thought.
And I think that's very much sadly in line with history, you know?
Yeah,
and absolutely. Where a lot of portrayals of important and historical gay figures have been white. And the Stonewall Uprising, all that, like a lot of people don't, or they didn't before acknowledge that that all started and was led by LGBTQ people of color. So yeah, that's so true. I would guess that's probably why they chose to do that, because it's sadly true and we can see lots of historical examples of that in real life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One thing I wanted to touch on also was the issue of police reform in both these, in mostly in Watchmen, but mm-hmm. I feel like it's still got ties to Lovecraft Country. In Watchmen, you know, the police, it almost feels like they start treating the white supremacists in Tulsa the same way the African American community may have been treated and sometimes is treated even today by police
mm-hmm.
in the here and now, where, you know, after the chief of police is killed, they're like, yep, it's these bastards, and they show up in Nixon Town or Nixonville,
yeah,
and just round up people,
yeah,
and put every single one of them through interrogation.
Yeah,
I mean, it made me think about the response of politicians and law enforcement to the opioid epidemic
mm-hmm.
versus the crack cocaine epidemic of the 80s and 90s. Yeah. The very, very different response. And it makes me wonder whether the writers of the show made this choice to show a very brutal police response mm-hmm. as a way to elicit sympathy amongst the audience for the victims, mm-hmm. or if they were doing it to elicit sympathy for how minorities are treated.
Yeah.
Random people getting picked up off the street, you know. Black people, especially in inner cities and, well, actually everywhere, have been facing this sort of shit for decades, centuries in America. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being a Muslim American, I know the Muslim American community faced this sort of shit right after 9/11, yeah. you know.
Many years after, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Many years after, but with very little sympathy from the majority population. Yeah. And yeah. I wonder if this was a way to try to reach them.
Yeah,
this seems, I remember, a way to try to reach them.
I don't know if I ever told you this, Mon, but I remember in high school we were having some debate in one of our English classes about privacy, and the whole subject of wiretapping came up, and I remember literally having this argument in front of my classroom with these two other white kids in my class about how wrong it is to just be wiretapping US citizens, and their yeah. response to me was, well, why is that a problem if you haven't done anything wrong? And I was like, yeah. because it's infringing upon my right to privacy. Yeah. And it's like, but you know, as there was just no sort of sympathy. It was just like, well, we have to do what we have to do to remain safe and blah, blah, blah. And yeah.
Well, you know, after all of the Edward Snowden leaks and shit came out, way before that, every fucking white person lost their shit. in America.
I know. Well, this was like 15 like, years ago. So yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm just saying that like yeah. for these students, it wasn't a problem until mm-hmm. they could imagine themselves.
Yeah.
Which, oh, I get what you're talking about now.
Yeah. But it's like me, their fellow classmate saying yeah. like, hey, it's fucked up that this is happening to my family and people I know and people who look like me. But yeah. no, like, it just doesn't sort of elicit any sort of response. No sympathy.
Because it's not happening to them.
I know. Yeah.
And the thing is that if you can't imagine it happening to you, it seems totally reasonable.
Yeah.
And I feel like with Watchmen, they did and with Lovecraft Country, they did a really good job of portraying, well, what if it was you, you know, mm-hmm. of really letting anybody who's watching these shows be like, hey, this shit could be you.
Yeah, very true. I think these shows should be required viewing
yeah
in classrooms, quite frankly. Like, if you don't do anything else but watch these shows in your US history classes, like, you'll still be better off
yes
than if you hadn't. So
yeah, because our history books are pretty shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, but especially anyway, when you've got things like the Civil War was about state rights. Yeah. Right.
Oh God. Anywho, but yeah, really interesting the use of police in general in both. Well, I guess in Lovecraft it was very, you know, the police have roots in white supremacy. If you look at their historical origin,
yeah,
police capturing in America started slaves as slave patrols. Yeah, so mm-hmm. naturally, if that shit isn't dealt with properly, then it's just yeah. still gonna be there, this weird underlying layer of it. But
with Watchmen though,
mm-hmm.
I feel like that same history, it involved the same tactics, just shifting in a different direction in the Tulsa police force. Yeah. And I just thought that was interesting. It wasn't enough to simply change the orientation of what the police force is tackling as the primary threat. Mm-hmm. Because it resulted in the same sort of very, very extreme behavior.
Yeah. Yeah. And then what did you think of the theme of masks in Watchmen? I, when I was rewatching the show,
mm-hmm.
it is so strange to watch it and hear, like, at one point, Senator Keene says, masks save lives. And I was like, holy fuck, we've been hearing that for the past year. This pandemic, like, it's just weird seeing that. And
yeah, now, that's so true.
I mean, because, you know, I watched the show when it came out in 2019, and then
yeah,
rewatching it now, I was like, damn, this is, masks have a whole new loaded meaning for me now, like, because of the pandemic. So
yeah but, no, I mean, masks for the police force, you know, at first I was like, well, this seems weird, you know, because mm-hmm. if a police, so in my opinion, or in my understanding, a police force exists to help maintain peace and order within a society. All right. Mm-hmm. Not as an outside invasion force, like an army might be. Even if an army is doing a protective activity, they are protecting it from an outside threat, you know, yeah. whereas a police force is supposed to be an internal thing. You know, mm-hmm. this is how we maintain order amongst ourselves, yeah. you know, and I feel like the wearing of masks creates the same issue basically that the internet creates with anonymity, where yeah. they may feel that they are more separated from the society that they are policing, mm-hmm. but also I wonder if it leads potentially to more extreme tactics because they are anonymous. Yeah. And if Facebook has taught us anything, people love to be assholes when they're anonymous.
Well, they're not really anonymous on Facebook unless you create a fake profile, but yeah.
There's still a disconnect.
Whereas, you know, on Reddit, you are anonymous.
Yeah, you're not telling off somebody in person to their face.
Oh, yeah, I there's see what a you distance. Mean. Yeah.
There's mm-hmm. a distance. Like, the person who you call, you know, a dickwad isn't going to show up at your door or isn't in that moment going to punch you in the face.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
it makes people more cruel when they can add yes. that distance and that sort of yes. barrier between them.
So it makes me wonder whether masks would make a police force more cruel.
Yes. I think that's okay. Also,
thank you like for answering that, my question.
I think that's also what the show's trying to say too, that in not just with police, but masks in general make you more cruel. We see that with Will Reeves. We see that with Angela. At the very end of the entire series, Will Reeves tells Angela, "You can't heal under a mask. Wounds need air." Because they were trying to obviously hide something, or either and you know, June, Will's wife, says, I think she even says to him at some point, like right before she leaves him, that you keep wearing that hood not to heal from anything, but because you can't even look at yourself in the face anymore.
Yeah.
And so that was another really interesting thing in terms of how they use masks in the show, in Watchmen. Mm-hmm. So obviously there's no really use of masks in Lovecraft Country, but I'm trying to think, like, what is the, I don't know. I feel with Lovecraft Country, it was just sort of, I think they did more of an analysis of how do these different generations process, deal with, and eventually hopefully try and move on from the trauma they've experienced.
Yes.
And a lot of it, unfortunately, has to do with violence. You know, they turn to their anger and violence to deal with it. Yeah. Even Atticus too. And he has a whole a shitload of trauma from the Korean War and all the stuff he had to do there. And
there was an interesting moment in the very first episode of Watchmen where the police officer who's doing the traffic stop has to ask for permission for his gun to be unlocked.
Yeah.
I thought that was actually something that maybe we should implement, you know, because it would force police officers to rely more on de-escalation tactics and as opposed to shoot first, worry later, you know?
Yeah. But I also think the only reason that happened in Watchmen is because didn't they, in the Watchmen universe, they passed a law where they took away everyone's guns. So like the regular citizens, I think they did. Yeah. So.
Oh, they had more gun control. I don't know if they took away guns from everybody.
Yeah, though. No, but they had way more gun control. Whereas as opposed to in the real world here in the US, they have none. So
we're going negative actually.
Yeah. And I think that's the only way that even in the Watchmen universe, they were able to pass some sort of law like that, where police have their firearms locked and they have to get permission.
That's true. You make a good point there. I mean, it is one of those things where police forces in other countries oftentimes are not carrying around firearms because the regular citizenry doesn't have firearms.
Exactly.
But obviously, you know, they'll have firearms if they're going in to raid someplace that they think there's a high probability of firearms being there. But it's not, it is, you're right. That is something that would be significantly more difficult in America. So unless we get gun control happening here, having controls on guns for police officers would be much more difficult. Just considering the prevalence of firearms in this country.
Yeah.
And I don't really know how to tackle that. And we're a geeky podcast, so I don't know if we're going to solve that.
If we did, I'd be like, shit, okay, like I'm done. Life goal achieved.
Life goal achieved.
Seriously, gun control in America. Anywho, okay, so last thing I think we should talk about for both of these shows is the use of time
in both
shows.
Yeah.
And okay, well,
you go first.
All right. I think with Watchmen, they start off with an actual real historical event.
Yes.
1921, Tulsa Race Massacre. And that is where the show literally starts. And then, you know, it, and then things are, for the next few episodes, it's kind of regular time. You know, it's a flashback linear to 1921. It's linear. Yes, linear. It's, then we jump to Angela in 2019. And it's going fine. Then you know, we have these flashbacks and everything. And then it gets very interesting when Dr. Manhattan comes around, you know, and then his whole experience with time is just so fascinating to try to wrap our minds around, because he's experiencing every moment, every interaction he's had with everyone pretty much all at the same time at all times, and it's never ending. So that's interesting. And I also just like how, you know, even something that happened 100 years ago to Will Reeves is just as relevant and still having an impact right now in the Watchmen universe of 2019.
Yes. You know?
And I just feel like they really, really did a great job of reinforcing that in Watchmen. And then with Lovecraft Country, like you were saying, it's all set in the 1950s. And then, so it has got all these historical elements that they're weaving in and out. Mm. Tulsa Race Massacre, Emmett Till's horrific murder, his funeral, all of that. But then, you know, then we also get this episode with Hippolyta.
Yeah.
Where she's like going in, it's all this like space time travel, all this stuff. And then in the penultimate episode of Lovecraft, mm-hmm. the heroes of the show are actually, you know, Atticus, Letty, and Montrose, they actually have to go back in time to Tulsa 1921 because they need to get something. And so again, it's like, it's also in a very different way reinforcing the ripple effect of everything that happens in our lives, in history, and whatever, you know, the impacts that we feel from a lot of different things. We still feel them today. It has an impact. The things we do, the words we say, all of it.
Yeah. I thought that with Lovecraft Country, that the use of time was more informative to inform the present, to inform us of who we are. The time travel back to Tulsa helped the characters understand why things were the way they were, people's personalities, et cetera, you know? And in fact, Atticus's actions in Tulsa had an impact on Montrose, you know? Montrose still just like remembers this. He has this moment where somebody saved him.
With a baseball bat.
Yep. With a baseball bat. You know, it's got this effect of using time and history to understand who we are, but also as a source of healing.
Yeah. You know?
But in Watchmen, and this is in big part thanks to Dr. Manhattan, it's more about how the past impacts today.
Yeah.
And really fucking around with cause and effect too. You know, one interesting thing I thought in the show that they did better than in the comic, actually, was portraying how Dr. Manhattan experiences time. You know, us being three-dimensional creatures means that we move in the fourth dimension only in one direction. Mm-hmm. All right. However, Dr. Manhattan is not a three-dimensional being. He is essentially a four-dimensional being. He experiences his entire life at the same time. He's having a conversation with Angela and Will Reeves at the same time. Mm-hmm. And Angela is like, well, ask him this, ask him that. And Dr. Manhattan's like, okay, I just asked him how he knew that Judd Crawford was a racist. Mm-hmm. And she was like, she has this moment where she just realizes, oh, fuck, I just caused this entire cycle of events.
Because Will Reeves was like, who's Judd Crawford?
Exactly.
And then, oh, wait, sorry, just to, before you go on to the next, but just quick thing, Lovecraft Country also had that, you know, which came first, the chicken or the egg moment with, like you said, when Atticus saves them when they're kids, when Montrose, George, and I'm totally blanking on the girl's name, saves them as kids when he gets that baseball bat and like hits those stupid.
I mean, there's that cause and effect thing, but I feel more like the past and time travel, especially Hippolyta's episode, going back in time, going forward in time, is used as a source of healing, you know? And in a sense, it almost shows that like where they're living right now, aka the 1950s, is so shit that any other time is better almost.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like it's a metaphor for that. You know, I mean, things were not so obviously better, but mm-hmm. the future and the past are both used as sources of healing
yeah.
for the present. Whereas in Watchmen, the past really truly is a source of problems.
Yeah.
You know, like, mm-hmm. like not just with Angela, but also with like Lady True, you know,
mm-hmm.
her past is the source of all of her problems that puts mm-hmm. her on the path that she's on, which yeah. is to, what was it again? She wanted to become Dr. Manhattan yeah. or?
Yes. She wanted okay. his power so she could actually do things with it and save humanity and starvation and things like that. Clean the air.
Yeah, that's nice. But I mean, the thing that she obviously failed to realize is that having those powers the way would lead her down the same path of Dr. Manhattan, which is yeah. to stop giving a crap about humanity.
You know? Or she'd be even more cruel because what kind of person wants those kinds of powers so badly
that's
that
true.
You would do? Whereas,
that's
you know,
true.
Dr. That's Manhattan true. Slash John Osterman wasn't mm-hmm. trying to get those powers. So,
yeah, you make a good fair point there. That mm-hmm. could lead to something significantly worse.
Even worse. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
But, you know, like, I don't know. It was, especially in Watchmen, it was a mind fuck.
I know. You know? That whole show is.
Yeah. Yeah. But time is definitely, the use of time is really mm-hmm. to create more problems, you know,
yeah.
like there are so many problems created by things that happened in the past, mm-hmm. you know, as yeah. opposed to Lovecraft Country, where knowing more about our past can help us heal.
Yes. But it also shows, again, the generational trauma that's passed yes. on and violence yes. and all that.
Yeah.
But yes,
and that's the understanding that yeah. leads to healing.
Yes, Kumbaya. Hopefully. Oh my God. What? Okay. Anywho, that's actually a pretty good note to end on. Healing
yeah.
in time. Healing. And let's all learn from our past. No need to dwell on our past, but learn from it.
Yeah. I think that's a good note to end on as well.
Yeah.
There's obviously so much more that could have been covered in this show, in this episode,
yeah.
but we're not going to.
There's not enough time. We decided to cover bigger themes. And I mean, there's so much I could talk about just every single character from Lovecraft and Watchmen.
Absolutely.
But yeah. Anyway, they're both amazing shows. Two of my all-time favorite shows, for sure.
It's up there with Warrior and Avatar The Last Airbender.
Yes. Very true. All right. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in.
Yep. Follow us on Twitter. Check out our show notes and yeah. we'll
our
catch you next
really
time.
Cool. Our show notes are tell super your, cool.
Tell your friends about us. You know, we could always use more listeners.
Yeah. On top of our 19 that we have.
All I right. think it, I think it might be down to 16.
No.
Tell everybody about us, people.
I'm not including this part. All right. Bye.
Bye.